From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man, we pick up where we ended on our previous broadcast and present more of a pre-recorded episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank is talking with Ryszard Legutko, a prominent Polish and European statesman and distinguished philosopher, and the author of The Demon in Democracy, Totalitarian Temptations in Free Societies. Let's now join Hank Hanegraaff and Professor Legutko in their conversation.
Religion for liberals, they were not anti-religion, but they wanted religion to be diluted. And they were afraid of what they called religious zeal. So they thought that religion should be controlled by the state. That's the argument in John Locke, that yes, there is religious toleration, but the government should supervise whether in worship or in doctrine, in theology, this religious group or that religious group is not subverting the political order. And if it is subverting the political order, it should be somehow eliminated or silenced or whatever. So this was theory. In practice, of course, it was different. There is no reason why the thriving families should not exist in a democratic society, provided that democracy does not become another religion that replaces the real religion. And we are not obsessed with, or we do not fall prey to democratic zeal, and we want to democratize everything. What I said in my book, and is a concept that goes back to antiquity, that the best political system is a mixed system, that is a system which combines democracy, aristocracy, and monarchy. And the interesting point is, of course, that the American state or the American political system was construed in the writings of the founding fathers as a mixed regime rather than as a democracy. It was conceived or constructed as a republic, which had a lot to do with the mixed regime. But later on, it changed, and the American society was becoming more and more democratic. And the president of the United States was endowed with such a tremendous power precisely because it was to be an equivalent of the European monarchs. This is something that most people have long forgotten and do not talk about, but it's true. The American system came into being as a mixed system, not as a pure democracy.
I want you to talk a little bit about chapter 5 in your book. I found that a fascinating chapter. I read it over and over again. You talk about the common thread between communism and liberal democracy being the worship of man, the worship of man replacing the worship of God, man becoming the object of worship. And once that happens, liberal democracy then becomes your new religion. And that perhaps is, as you point out, why socialists and communists have always hated religion and longed for socialism to fulfill human needs, to fulfill human dreams, to fulfill the inner desire of humanity the way that religion should and does.
Yes, there was this worship of man, right? God is dethroned, abolished, or killed, as Friedrich Nietzsche said, and we have the worship of man. Except that, it sounds tempting for some, except that the man that was being worshipped was the abstract man, whereas the real people were treated very badly. And the socialists, and I also think that the liberals, they love man, although the liberal Democrats nowadays do not use this word, right, man, but they hate people, real people, because the real people are different from this abstract man, and they have all these weaknesses and inclinations which the socialists and liberal Democrats want to get rid of, using coercive measures and politics and indoctrination. So the paradox is that all those men-loving ideologies in practice were extremely brutal and anti-human. Well, you may say that liberal democracy is not as brutal, or is not brutal at all, which of course might be true, but there is some kind of cruelty, I think, in liberal democracy, which may be an equivalent of this brutality, right? Abortion is one of the examples. And not only abortion, but the prohibition of talking about it and raising doubts about it. You are not allowed to do it anymore in various countries. Abortion is more and more accessible, but you are not allowed to call a spade a spade. You are not allowed to call it killing babies, because you will go to prison. You will lose your job. In France, there is a law. You can go to prison up to 2 years and pay 30,000 euros for doing this. So there are all sorts of brutal things going on in Western societies. Most of them are somehow pushed back, and people do not talk about it because that interferes with this rosy picture of deeply humane society full of freedom.
It's interesting that Christians are falling for this prevalent dichotomy between an inner religion and an outer religion. So what the Christians are doing oftentimes is they're falling for this false dichotomy, making spirituality the servant of politics as a result of that. They're saying, well, we'll practice our inner religion. We won't say anything about abortion. We won't get into those kinds of things. And hopefully the liberal Democrats, the socialists will leave us alone. That seems to me to be a tragic error.
It is a tragic error. And I can see these things happening even within the Catholic Church, which is essentially more conservative than many Protestant churches, but I can see it among the groups that they call themselves open Catholics, and they will accept everything from the liberal, democratic orthodoxy. I mean, everything. They don't defend, they do not criticize, they do not condemn. They go with the current and never object, never criticize. They criticize the conservative clergy, they criticize the church, they criticize more conservative colleagues or friends, right, or groups, but they do not criticize liberal Democrats and the progressives. And it is long ago that I stopped understanding them. I do not know what goes in their minds. I don't believe that their priority is the teaching of the religion. I think the priority is to be a good liberal Democrat. And their religion is subordinated to this liberal democratic creed. And this inner man, outer man, inner religion, outer religion is just a stratagem for them. They're not doing it in earnest. It's a kind of game that they play with themselves and with other people.
And there's another turn of phrase that you use in the book, that of conciliatory Christians and capitulatory Christians. So you have the conciliatory Christians, if I'm characterizing this correctly, who try to adapt Christianity to liberal democracy paradigms. You have the capitulatory Christians who are willing to submit to anything that the liberal democratic members want, and they do that in order to have a quasi-seat at the table. And they're forced to accept humiliating subordination to those things that they actually think are immoral because they want to have a place at the table. And it drives me crazy, quite frankly, because it seems to me that neither one of these ideas is a very good idea, because it is Christianity that is to be the leavening force in a culture that transforms culture.
Yeah, the only Christianity that transforms culture is a full-fledged Christianity. It's not diluted and not capitulatory. There's a self-delusion to say that we will, when we get a place at table, we will influence them who are not Christians. They will not influence them because those Christians are no longer in a position to influence anybody. If you capitulate, you have very little at your disposal to influence those you capitulated to.
Don't go away. We'll be right back and rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Professor Richard Legutko. We live in troubling times. If you'd like to know how we got here and where we're heading, The Demon and Democracy is a must read. Professor Richard Legutko lived and suffered under communism for decades, eventually fighting with the Polish anti-communist movement to abolish it. Now, having lived multiple decades under a liberal democracy, however, he has discovered that these two political systems have a lot more in common than one might think. They both stem from the same historical roots in early modernity and accept similar presuppositions about history, society, religion, politics, culture, and human nature. To receive your copy of The Demon in Democracy, Totalitarian Temptations in Free Societies, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves
themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Let's rejoin Hank Hanegraaff and Professor Richard Legutko as they continue their conversation.
There's a self-delusion to say that when we get a place at table, we will influence them who are not Christians. They will not influence them because those Christians are no longer in a position to influence anybody. If you capitulate, you have very little at your disposal to influence those you capitulated to. And when the conciliatory Christians still have this hope that they can do it, there's this trend in the Catholic Church. You can see it in German episcopate. German Catholics are very much conciliatory, and they believe that they can retain the power, but at the same time, they will not oppose the changes that have been underway in the Western civilization. Well, I don't think they are right, and I'm very much concerned about the Catholic Church nowadays, because I can see that these conciliatory Christians seem to be more and more influential. And, I fear the worst.
There's actually a statement in your book. I just turned to it. It's page 167. And this is one of the most stunning statements in the entire book, from my perspective. You say, if the old communists lived long enough to see the world of today, they would be devastated by the contrast between how little they themselves had managed to achieve in their anti-religious war and how successful the liberal Democrats have been. That is a stunning statement. I mean, you're someone who lived under communism, and yet you're saying the old communists, if they were looking at the world today, they would be devastated by the contrast between how little they managed to achieve in their anti-religious war and how successful the liberal Democrats have been. Expand on that.
Well, I'm, of course, talking mostly from the Polish perspective, and my country has been Catholic since the beginning of Christianity in that part of Europe. We had some Protestant communities, but Catholicism was very strong. And Roman Catholicism was a major force under communist regime. Of course, the Catholics were treated very brutally. The priests were killed. They were sentenced to long term. And many really bad things were happening. But somehow we survived as a Christian community. And Christianity managed to save the soul of the nation. That is, when the communist system was falling, almost everybody knew that it was the church primarily that helped us to save our soul, that our soul was not remodeled, you know, recycled and changed into something else, thanks to the Pope, John Paul II, among other. But we have many great priests who did this fantastic job. So that's my view, right? That was this very aggressive attack on the church, and we survived as a nation having this identity. And when I see now, not in my country yet, mind you, I use this word yet, but I see the churches in Europe empty or dilapidated or turned into, I don't know, restaurants or discotheques. And I see the spontaneous acts of blasphemy, you know, insulting sacred symbols of the Christian religious. So I could not but arrive at this conclusion. There was not terror used in Western societies, at least not to the extent it was used in the Soviet system. But the results are something that would make the communism envious. The churches in former communist countries are full. The churches in the countries that have never been communist are empty.
Wow. You say that we have to recognize that Christianity is the last great force that offers a viable alternative to the tediousness of liberal democratic anthropology. What does resistance look like today?
Well, I said that it's the last great force because we've been separated from the past heritage in education, in public space. We are no longer shaped in a very limited degree, are shaped by the past heritage or classical culture, which for centuries was something that kept us together as members of the Western culture. So Christianity is the only thing left now. And, well, I don't know what the final outcome be. There is no final outcome in history, probably, so we never know. But I think there is some resistance to it. And I can see that the conservative forces are becoming slightly stronger. And this traditional Catholicism also has become more attractive also to young people. Because young people, those who are really searching for some meaningful message and a meaningful interpretation of their existence, they want this full-fledged message, not this diluted message that often comes from the popular religion. So I see some signs of optimism, but the enemy is formidable. I mean, it's a powerful machine. It's mass culture, it's corporations, it's politics. So the enemy is powerful. But, well, if we believe that there is such a thing as human nature, and human nature needs some strong message and looks for ultimate meanings and looks for the absolute and for kind of thick metaphysics, then probably there is a chance that this resistance will grow. I hope it will.
You have a new book coming out. It's titled The Cunning of Freedom, Saving the Self in an Age of False Idols. What's that book about?
Well, it's about freedom, as the title says. It's perhaps more philosophical than the previous one, but I'm trying to defend what I said just a while ago. I'm trying to defend a view that there is more to human nature and to human existence that the liberals and the socialists want to allow. And once we are aware of it, maybe we will not be so docile and we will resist this enormous pressure. So freedom is something complex and something that is more about obligation than rights. It's more about spirituality than about anything goes approach.
I wonder what it's like for you, given your political persuasions, to be a member of the European Parliament.
Oh, well, it's on the one hand, it's an interesting experience because you can see you can see modern democracy at work, and I have the first-hand information about the emergence and the growth of new despotism. I can see it right before me, so it's a good place of observation. And on the other hand, it's very frustrating. It's very frustrating because you see that somehow the Europeans didn't draw the conclusions from our history. Perhaps this is the weakness of the human race, that we do not learn by mistakes. We should learn by mistakes, but we don't learn by mistakes. Few of us do. So this is a sad spectacle to see how the old mistakes are being repeated, and you see the emergence of a new despotic system. But, you know, this is a philosopher. A politician cannot abandon his calling, and he must do something. Observing is not enough. So we are giving them a hard time. And, well, we haven't capitulated, far from it, when we have no intention of capitulating.
Well, I've watched you in European Parliament, and you're outspoken, and you're eloquent, and you're brave. And I very, very much appreciate your book, The Demon in Democracy. It's a book that I will be promoting as far and wide as I'm able to, because I think it's not only worth reading once or twice, but at least three times. The Demon in Democracy, Totalitarian Temptations in Free Societies by my guest, Richard Legutko, is available for all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. You can get your copy for your support on the web at equip.org. Look forward to seeing you next time with more.
Thank you for listening to this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To hear this Hank Unplugged podcast interview with Professor Richard Legutko in its entirety, go to equip.org, iTunes, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Our daily commitment here at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand CRI's life-changing outreaches, Hank would like to send you the book, The Demon in Democracy, Totalitarian Temptations in Free Societies by Richard Legutko. Call a resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.